This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle has presided over county government since 2010, and she'd like a fifth term. She's launching her re-election campaign as her administration faces one of its most challenging budget seasons ever. There's a lot going on here, and we have questions. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. My guest this weekend is President Preckwinkle, and we're speaking on the Juneteenth holiday at her office in the county building. And Madam President, thanks for having me in again.
Sure enough.
Well, let's talk about the budget projections first. The current one is for what some of us are calling a moderate budget deficit of just over $211 million. I do remember back when that sounded like a lot of money. But compared with some past budget gaps, this would normally look like a routine budget tightening to the rescue. But this is not a normal year, right?
No, I think this is one of the most challenging years we've faced. As you recall, Craig, when I first came into this job, we had a budget gap of about $500 million, $487 million, I think, to close. The next year it was $315 million. But it gradually went down from there, the budget gap we had to close, and the stabilization of the county is one of the things, financial stabilization is one of the things I'm most proud of. But this is an extraordinary moment. We will be tremendously impacted by the federal budget decisions, and those have yet to be made. As we speak, the House has sent a bill to the Senate, which will, of course, be modified there. And it's unclear how we will be impacted, particularly when it comes to health care, which is 60% of our budget. And the House bill proposes considerable cuts in Medicaid, which is our lifeblood. It's our principal source of funding. And I'm not sure what actions the Senate will take either to modify that bill or to modify the proposal around Medicaid or to make it more draconian. So we're facing some tremendous challenges as we look to the year ahead.
And, you know, there would be times when if there were a split in the control of Congress, that you could expect some kind of compromise, but right now with the Republicans in control, the margins are narrow, but things could get worse before they could get better, right?
Yeah, but with both the Senate and the House in Republican hands, we have less reason to be hopeful that the Senate will be a moderating influence on the House, and that's a tremendous challenge for us. So we're going to put out our preliminary budget, which is our best guess of where we are, but we know that it is subject to substantial revisions depending on federal action.
And now let me look to the state, because if more money were needed to help the county or help any other local government. This is not necessarily the year for that. The Pritzker administration says some 400, because they're also dependent upon federal funding, some $477 million in federal funds have already been cut from programs for infectious diseases, mental health, and substance abuse. Is it safe for me to assume that that kind of those cuts are already factored into the planning, or are those things also looking down the road?
No, what's factored into our planning was the state's reduction of health benefits for immigrant adults, which you didn't mention, which is $111 million for us on an annual basis. And that's just on the revenue side. We anticipate that our costs for charity care will rise considerably as a result of the fact that people lose insurance and then seek care as they have done with us, and we will provide that care without compensation. So the federal government is making cuts, the level of which to be determined. The state has already made cuts, which are going to have a tremendous impact on us.
Well, now I have to ask, what can or will the county do if, I mean, you guys have got scenarios going from best hope to worst case. What can the county do if things are as bad as a lot of people fear?
Well, our healthcare system, again, 60% of our budget is healthcare. Our healthcare system has already begun the process of trying to be as efficient as possible. And I am grateful to Dr. Eric Makaitis and the team at our health and hospital system for their foresight beginning in May in looking toward more efficient operations. And so we will look not only at healthcare, but across all of our programs and activities to be sure that we have a balanced budget, which is what we've done since we came in the door in 2010. Initially under extraordinarily difficult circumstances, more recently with a little less challenges, but we're back definitely in the challenging lane.
And I think we have to make sure that people understand when we're talking about being more efficient with a healthcare system, we're talking about a healthcare system that is the last resort for a lot of people. So, how much more efficient can you be before services for people who desperately need them
Are affected? Impacted. Yeah, I am very proud of the fact that for more than 180 years, our health and hospital system has cared for whoever comes to our door, regardless of their income or their insurance status or their citizenship status or their race, or their income, or their ethnicity, or their sexual orientation. We should all be proud of the fact that we as Cook County taxpayers support our public health system in this way. However, our health system is going to be seriously impacted by impending federal cuts, and it's unclear how that will impact the services that we are able to deliver.
Mm. And talking about efficiencies, I do want to touch on another story that has been bubbling up and lately. And there have been stories in the Chicago Tribune about Cook County's long journey to upgrade its computer systems at several levels. No one denies the need for that. I hear there. I've heard that there might be still some offices that still use carbon paper. I think you've gotten rid of most of those.
Well, let me just say, when I came into this job in 2010, most of our functions were on a mainframe computer, and in other units of government, and surely in the corporate sector, people had long since left mainframes. And actually, it's hard to find anybody who knows the software for mainframes anymore, which is COBOL, I guess. We made trying to upgrade technology in the county a priority, and we've made considerable investments in that. That has been one of our biggest challenges, and we're hopeful in the next year or so that we can get all of our functions off the mainframe. It's taken us a considerable period of time, but I think it's an investment that's well worth it. The mainframe system is not one that we can service anymore. So when you're relying on a system where you can't find coders who know COBOL and you can't maintain it, it's a very problematic situation. So we have made investments in technology. We've moved not as quickly as we might have hoped, but I'm hopeful in the next year we'll be off the mainframe.
What is it about? You've explained some of the pitfalls or the challenges of this, but is it even more, problematic to find companies that can do this? Because obviously the company that ended up with most of this work, not just for the president's, what's under your purview, but the courts and others.
Other stakeholders.
Yes, that company has had trouble meeting deadlines. There have been cost overruns.
Yes, you're talking about Tyler Technologies. And I think it's fair to say that they've not performed at the level that we would have hoped or expected. When we initially began our conversion off the mainframe to more modern platforms, Tyler was basically the only firm that was in the arena. And since then, of course, there have been many more entrants. But we've been working with Tyler from the very beginning. And at one point, we engaged a consultant to ask whether it made sense to try to change to a different provider. And they basically said, it does not. You should stay to the course here and just move through all of the offices that you need to upgrade the technology with and just push to the end. And that's what we've done. And as I said, we're close now to having all of our functions off the mainframe.
Is there a timetable for seeing that work at least get to the point where people are seeing a noted difference in what they're able to do?
Well, the most substantive change that's ahead of us is the property and taxation stakeholders and the conversion to a Tyler system. And that's part of what we have to do to get the tax bills out this year, which is one of the reasons that we expect there may be some delays.
Mm-hmm. I do want to ask after four terms, why would you even consider four more years of these kinds of fiscal challenges and responsibilities?
Well, my joke is that I'm a glutton for punishment, but in fact, I really love my job, and it's an opportunity to do really good things. I mean, we've managed since I got this position to stabilize the county's finances, which were kind of in a shambles for a very long time. We've worked together with the stakeholders in the criminal justice arena around criminal justice reform. I'm proud of that work as well. And that work, I think, laid the foundation for statewide efforts that resulted in the Pretrial Fairness Act and the elimination of cash bond in the state of Illinois, which at the time, I'm not sure it's still true, was the only state in the country that no longer had cash bond. And, let me just tell you, cash bond is just an incredible inequity because it means that your liberty is dependent on the size of your wallet and not the severity of the crime or your danger to the community or your danger to yourself, but simply how much money you have. And so we had people who were detained in our jail who couldn't pay relatively modest bonds, accused of crimes like shoplifting or low-level drug offenses or not paying their child support. And people who were accused of more serious crimes, who had the financial resources to pay the bond, had liberty. And there's no justice in that at all. I was at an event earlier this past week with Sheriff Dart, and he talked about the fact that when he came into office in the early part of this century, I think in 2006, if I remember correctly, there were 13,000 people in the jail. And the stakeholders have worked together particularly since 2013, when I could move from finances to focus on policy, and this was the first policy initiative, criminal justice reform, the jail population was about 9,000 or 10,000 on a daily basis. It's now down to less than 6,000. That's because people accused of low-level crimes are no longer awaiting their disposition of their cases, their trial, no longer awaiting adjudication in the jail, which costs us a lot of money to detain people in the jail. And, of course, if you're detained, you can't go to work, you can't support yourself or your family, you can't go to school. So I'm proud of the work that we've done in criminal justice reform, and now the work we've engaged in trying to bring the property tax stakeholders together to rationalize that system, which has been challenged for a long time as well.
What can be done about the property tax system? And again, you're not in control of all of the mechanisms, but bringing everybody together, what really do you hope to see happen?
Well, we want a system that's fair. One of the things that we've done is engage the University of Illinois at Chicago to do research on the effect of exemptions, for example, or looking at our commercial property taxation system to see what the challenges are there. So we've brought the stakeholders together. They've agreed to engage researchers to help us, so we have fact we have facts on which to base our decisions, and we're moving ahead to try, as I said, to rationalize the system and to make it more fair, and that's what people should expect of their government.
But what constitutes a fair system? I mean, what, you know, fair, people think if my taxes are up, it's not fair.
Well, for one thing, I mean, I want our listeners to remember, Cook County has not raised its property taxes for Cook County functions since the 90s. I think it's 1996, something like that. Your property taxes have gone up considerably, mostly because of your public schools. Wherever you are, your public schools are usually the most expensive item on your property tax bill. And as a teacher, I believe we ought to invest in education for our children. So I'm not complaining about that. I'm just pointing it out. But we collect taxes on behalf of every taxing body in the county. So every school district, every city, town, and village, all the library districts, all the park districts, the water reclamation district, we collect taxes for everybody. So we want to be sure that in our assessment process, in our appeals process, and in our collection process, we're as fair as we can possibly be. And that takes some work.
Is it about the formula, or is it about the mechanisms for, you know, actually doing the work?
Well, I mean, one of the things you want is...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
The system which properties are fairly evaluated, fairly assessed, and you have to look at what the, how can I say this, not just what the community that you're in, but the value of your home and so on. And you want to be sure that homes of similar characteristics across the county are evaluated and assessed similarly. So you don't want great disparities in the evaluations of homes. And that's been one of the challenges across the way. We have a different way of taxing commercial industrial properties and residential properties, and there are always arguments about whether that's fair, whether there's just be a flat rate for both commercial, industrial, and residential properties. So there are lots of different things within the system that you have to address. The difference in the ways that commercial industrial properties are evaluated, the difference in the way residential properties are evaluated, how properties are evaluated given the community that you live in, and properties that have similar characteristics across the county may be evaluated very differently. So that's a challenge.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore, and I am talking with Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, and we are in her Loop offices. And I want to talk about some slightly more philosophical things, but we are in unprecedented times and circumstances. It's kind of a challenging time to be in politics now. How are you finding the landscape to operate when it's? I mean, it's not just one guy in the White House. It's a different political atmosphere, I would think.
Well, Craig, the way I usually respond is, you know, the President of the United States is attempting to overwhelm and demoralize the people who don't share his view of the world. And so those of us who believe that government can serve people and that our job is to try to help our residents live their best lives and believe in inclusion and equity, have to figure out where they are on the skirmish line that the president has created. You know, I'm dismayed by the attacks on our educational institutions as a teacher. I don't have any particular affinity for large law firms, but I think that the president of the United States is coming after them is disgraceful. Our main business is healthcare. And so where we are is trying to advocate for federal funding for healthcare through the Medicaid system. It's our principal payer, and substantial cuts in Medicaid funding will have a drastic effect on us. And the other place I am on the skirmish line besides healthcare is immigration. You know, we're at a moment in time which I would not have anticipated, which is we're snatching people up off our streets and sending them to gulags in El Salvador. And I, personally, along with the governor and the mayor and the state chief of police and my sheriff and the superintendent of police, are being sued by the federal government on the grounds that they believe we've not helped them enforce immigration laws. Our contention is that's their responsibility. But they're suing us, so I'm going to be engaged in a legal battle with the federal government. My corporation counsel tells me for the next year and a half.
And that's a cost, too, at a time when you're trying to spend money in a different way.
We're going to defend ourselves, yes, and that's not going to be cheap. So we're focused on advocating for continued federal support for health care. We're focused on defending ourselves against allegations that we're not enforcing immigration laws. And again, our contention is that's the federal government's responsibility, not local government. And other people are going to have to fight where they are in the skirmish line, whether they're large law firms or educational institutions.
What do you say to people who maybe sincerely feel that the country is spending too much money and bringing too many people who shouldn't be here, and that the only way to solve the problem is to either make them want to leave or to push them out? These are people who are saying the president is doing just what they want.
There's always been a tension in our country between welcoming new arrivals and being fearful of them. Throughout our history, this isn't this isn't an unusual moment in that respect. One of our commissioners, Josina Morita, you know, talks about her family and the Chinese exclusion laws. You know, we passed in 1920s, the first part of the 20th century, we passed laws excluding specific groups of people from this country. And we have at various times opened our doors or slammed them shut historically. And this is a moment where, again, new arrivals, immigrants, undocumented residents, whatever you want to call them, are subject to demonization and derogation and efforts to kick them out. But I, you know, as a history teacher, I always say America is a great country because people have come from all over the world to make it so. And some came of their own volition, and some, like my folks, came in chains. However, everyone's made a contribution to this country. And we have to acknowledge the diverse population that we have. And this is something we should be proud of, and we should welcome new arrivals. We have to have a more reasonable immigration system than we've had for a while here. There should be paths to citizenship. But there has to be some, I mean, we can't let everybody in who wants to come, that's true. But on the other hand, the last time this president was president, we put children in cages. And some there's got to be a reasonable midpoint in opening the doors to everyone and putting new arrivals in prison cells.
And when you talk about acknowledging the diversity, acknowledging what many people consider the strength of this country, we're also talking about an administration that is visibly trying to make sure people don't talk about those things. And that, you know, there's speculation about how long Juneteenth will remain a national holiday, whether Martin Luther King Day will stay, and whether DEI programs are going to be forced back underground. I don't think they'll ever go away completely, but certainly there are some companies that are trying to find different ways to talk about them. And is that also not, or is that making the job that you're talking about of getting people to see that we're all in this boat together harder?
But we talked earlier about immigration and the fact that we've waxed and waned on welcoming immigrants. It's surely a country in which we've waxed and waned on the issue of race. And this president, of course, has legitimized overt racism in a way that's, I can't say surprising, but profoundly disappointing to me. There's no way to look at what he does other than efforts to, again, derogate, demonize people of color, particularly black folks. So, and we've had presidents who've done that before. I mean, you know, Woodrow Wilson, when he became president of the United States, instituted segregation in the federal workforce, which hadn't been the case before. I mean, they put partitions in federal offices between white workers and black workers. I mean, I'm a history teacher. We have a very, and I love my country, but I believe that those of us who love our country are called upon to hold it accountable for bad behavior, and we're in the midst of very bad behavior at the federal level.
So tell me what a history teacher recommends to teach those lessons and to get the pendulum swinging back the other way. I mean, I'll admit, growing up during the civil rights period, I would think of the country as mostly the pendulum swinging toward, you know, as Dr. King said, bending toward justice.
The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice, yes.
Yeah, and even though it has some bumps, it's generally like the stock market. It's kind of always slowly moved up, and this time it doesn't seem to be.
You know, historically, I think there have been reactions to more opportunity, whether it's for people of color or women, or more recently, the LGBTQ community. I mean, I never thought I'd see same-sex marriage legal in this country. And yet, there are those who are profoundly disturbed by the increase in opportunity and the demands for equity that have come from various segments of the population. And we're at one of those points where people are trying to shut the door on opportunity for people to come to this country, shut the door on advancement for people of color, shut the door on choice for women. And those of us who believe that this country can be better than it is now, I need to stand up. I'm grateful to see the estimates I saw were 3 million people came out across the country for No King's Day last weekend. Marches aren't all we need to do, but it's surely important for people to publicly say this isn't the way we want our country to be moving forward.
Do you feel that that is happening enough? Is there more someone at some level of government can do to, if not change people's minds, change the dialogue?
Well, you know, I've said some pretty honest things about where I think we are in this country. And I think it's incumbent upon our leaders to share with our constituents our views of the moment and what actions those of us who are looking for change, what actions we might take. I suggested that, you know, public expressions of opposition, like the No Kings March, are a good idea because they show that not everybody's on board with the kinds of things that are happening in this country. We're trying to advocate in Washington for health care, for Medicaid, because that's important to our constituents. We're fighting their efforts to charge us with not enforcing immigration laws. I mean, as I said, pick a spot and fight there. It's a skirmish line.
Well, I want to thank you very much. That is County Board President Tony Preckwinkle. Thanks for spending the half hour with us. And since this is my last at issue, I also want to thank you for all the times that we've been able to talk and how you've been willing to talk and be honest for good or ill with us reporters as we've gone along. So thank you.
Thank you, Craig. And I just want to say, as a history teacher, newspapers, radio reports, TV reports are the first draft of history. So I'm always grateful for the folks who are out there in the trenches trying to help educate our public. You know, we can't have a strong democracy without citizens understanding the issues in front of them.
Well, thank you. And to our listeners, if you would like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website. That's WBBMNewsRadio.com. You can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. I will not be back next week with another edition of At Issue, but someone else will. And I hope you will be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July Mega Sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July Mega Sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.